Imagine reaching the age of 90, 95 and looking back on all seasons of your life. At one point you were a child, maybe a parent raising children, an employee or a boss, or maybe all the above. In each season, what would it look like if Christ truly ruled your heart? An 88-year-old believer once reflected that every season of life is an opportunity to love and trust Christ and experience His kindness and care. The gospel of Jesus isn't just for Sunday mornings or church activities or when it fits our schedule. It's for all life. It's transforming how we live at home and at work. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, we find the Apostle Paul showing us how Jesus changes our everyday relationships between children and parents, between servants and masters. He speaks to the heart. He begins in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It's striking that in a letter read to the church, Paul addresses the kids directly. God values children. He cares for them. We can see that time and time again, how He loves the little children. They are not an afterthought. He speaks to them as an essential part of the family. You know, I know most of us are a little bit older here in the church, but how important it is to nurture and guide the younger generation throughout life, whether you have grandkids, whether you have people around you, it's our job to nurture them and guide that younger generation. It begins here with obey your parents in the Lord. You know, it's a simple command. Just do what your parents say. But it says in the Lord. This means Christian obedience is as part as following Jesus Christ. The child's obedience is connected to their discipleship. They learn to obey parents as an act of trust in Jesus Christ. He ends that verse where, for this is right. It just fits with God's design. It's God's order. It's God's plan. It's how God intended family life to function, and it's reflecting His wisdom. He goes on in verse 2, it says, honor thy father and mother. This goes all the way back. You can look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And that promise that honoring parents would result that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. He continues on here in verse 3, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And again, this is just part of consequences. Again, when you respect each other, when you long life comes along with it because of the consequences, you'll have stability, you'll have blessings. Children who heed the godly wisdom of their parents avoid that dangerous pitfall, avoid getting into the worldly things that we know can kill you practically. Most of us here are not children. Again, even though I still feel like I'm 15, 16, 17, but my body keeps telling me I'm not any longer. But we are all somebody's child. In that verse 2, it says, honor thy father and mother. How are we doing in honoring our parents? For some of us, our parents are still living, maybe elderly and needing care. For others, your parents have passed on. But it's God's word here to honor, and that doesn't expire when we become adults. It changes form, maybe, from obeying their household rules to showing them respect, gratitude, and care. Maybe we need to take more time for our parents. The older they get, the more time. You know, sometimes they get frustrating. Sometimes they get annoying. But we need to have that respect and that care and that gratitude for them, for who we became. One author even said, who cared for her aging, unbelieving father, despite a painful childhood, said, God's command doesn't make exceptions for parents who didn't raise us in the Lord. Christians who are able are responsible for the care of our parents. Even when it's hard, caring for a difficult parent can still be consistent with our new nature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We honor our parents because we follow Jesus. We honor our parents because of who we are. We show respect towards them. We care for them. We give them what they need. There's not a parent out there that's perfect, except for Jesus Christ himself. But as Christ transforms us, we should become more and more the kind of parents whose guidance is wise, loving, and consistent with God's way. Look over with me to Colossians chapter 3. It's a page over or two, but Colossians 3:20 says the same exact thing. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's a parallel verse to Ephesians 6:1. And again, it reinforces that idea that obedience isn't just a family issue, it's a spiritual one. When a child obeys their parents, it pleases the Lord. We need to please the Lord. He continues on in verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, after talking to children, he turns to parents, specifically addressing fathers. And I sat here and said, why did he only address fathers? And I would say 99% of the time, the fathers are the ones provoking their kids. They're picking on them, they're poking at them, they're teasing them. The father wants to make them tough, so they're going to push them a little bit harder. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers have great authority in the home. There's a special call for fathers to be a Christ-like way at home. Scripture calls parents, and especially fathers, to mirror our Heavenly Father. There's another translation that says, do not exasperate your children. And there's many times that we do this to our kids. We are harsh on them. We're mean to them. We may be constant critical, inconsistent with our expectations. But we need to make sure we're proud of them as well. A parent can provoke to anger by humiliating a child or by always finding fault and never encouraging. There's times that you may even find, again, everybody says it's not a favorite child, but there's always that one that has a favorite child. You got to be careful not to provoke or create a favorite child either. Children's spirits can be crushed quickly or driven to simmering resentment. If you are a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you have anything that you deal with kids, I challenge you to pray about it. Is there somewhere that I'm frustrating or discouraging my kids? Do I major on the minors? Do I discipline in anger, or do I discipline with love? We need to encourage. We need to uplift. And in the same exact verse, he has a flip side to it, which is the positive change. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here it implies time, attention, and love, tenderly caring for them as they grow. Discipline or nurture and instruction of the Lord, or admonition of the Lord. Discipline involves correction and guidance. Yes, there's boundaries. We do it to protect them. We do it to teach them and guide them. We've done all the stupid things in life. We know more than our kids. We need to discipline them. The Lord even says he disciplines those he loves. And as a parent, we reflect that love by not abandoning our kids to harmful paths. Again, along with discipline, instruction of the Lord means teaching them God's truth, sharing the gospel, reading scripture, praying with and for them. Nurture their soul, not just feed and educate them in worldly things, but bring them up to know the Lord's way, the Lord's plan. We all know it, but the home is the first church. It's the first school. And kids form their viewpoint of God, the world, their life, through the eyes of you. Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 is another. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, Ephesians 6:4 urges fathers not to provoke their children, but to bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Proverbs 22 says, train a child with the long-term vision of godliness. What we plant in our kids will be there long term. Yes, they may go away, they may stray away, but they will come back. They will hear the influence of you. What is one way Christ wants to transform your parenting? I challenge you this week, myself included. What is one way I can transform the way I parent my child? It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be exactly the way it needs to be. But God has challenged all of us to discipline, to nurture, and instruct in the Lord. Maybe it's being more patient. Maybe you discipline in anger. Maybe you discipline quickly. Maybe it's taking time to listen than rather ignore. Maybe it's leading spiritually. Even if your children are grown, there's so many things you can still do for your kids. You can pray for them. You can reach out to them. You can send them a Bible verse. Again, each and every one of us are called for this. Even if you don't have any kids, there's plenty of kids that need guidance and wisdom and instruction in the Lord. He continues on here. He talked from child to parent to servant and master. And verse 5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. These household servants or slaves are under the authority of a master, but it is not the way that we vision it today. It was not a race-based brutal slavery. It was a form of indentured servitude in the Roman world. And most of the time it was voluntarily. Paul gives dignity to both servants and masters by showing that their relationship is not just social or economic, it's now centered on Jesus Christ. Servants aren't just laborers, they are serving the Lord in their daily work. Masters aren't just bosses, they are accountable to the Lord, their master in heaven. Paul lifts this relationship between the cultural norms of the day and are called to live and lead in a way that honors him. Today we look at this with employees and employers, or bosses and whatever. It's about working and leading under the ultimate lordship of Christ. He begins there, bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Again, if you're an employee, it says obey your boss. Listen to him with respect. Take your duties seriously. Do it with a sincere heart. Be genuine. Christ is your true supervisor watching you. Again, verse 6, pretty amazing. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Maybe a Bible verse that I put on my wall at my office. But again, it's funny when I walk into the room that everybody starts working real hard because I'm there. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Our true character shows when we think no one will find out. Who are we when we're in the closet? Who are we when we're by ourselves? Who are we when we're... Who are we? But the Lord is always present. The Lord is always watching. He sees you at all times. Again, it's not pleasing men, but we need to please Jesus Christ. Verse 7, he goes on, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men. Do your task with a positive attitude, with good will and enthusiasm. Again, you are serving the Lord. We are not doing these things for each other. We're not doing these things to please men. While you're at work, think Jesus is standing right beside you. He's watching you. He's looking at you. Keep a positive attitude. Keep an uplift spirit. In verse 8, he says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Again, God sees every act. God sees everything you do. Maybe your boss doesn't see it. Maybe that person doesn't see what you did for them. But the Lord Jesus Christ sees everything you do. He has his own way rewarding you if you put forth the effort and do it according to his plan. There's a story that illustrates this, and an elderly carpenter was about to retire after a long career. His boss asked him a personal favor to build one last house. The carpenter agreed, but his heart wasn't in it. He cut corners, used cheaper materials, and he rushed the work. When he finished, the employer came to inspect the house, and to the carpenter's shock, the boss handed him the front door keys and said, "Here's your house. This is your house, my gift to you." The carpenter was stunned with regret. If he had only known he was building his own house, he would have done it all so differently. This is the parable of what Paul is teaching. In our work, we might be tempted to do the bare minimum. We might want to take a corner. We might want to take a shortcut. But what character are you building? Are you happy with that? We reap what we sow. You're building something for the glory of God. Don't cut corners. Pour your life, pour yourself into this task, whether it's small, whether it's great, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for someone else. Again, if you're an employee, do you give an honest day's work? You know, I always pick on my team, and I try not to micromanage, but they'll all get there at 8 o'clock, and they all got to get their cup of coffee till about 8:10, 8:15. I'm always like, hey, you just stole 15 minutes from me. Again, when you clock in, you need to be working. Again, you need to be putting forth an effort. Are you diligent even when the manager is away? Do you speak well of your job and your people that you're working with? It's very simple for us to cheat time between 8 and 5. To goof off, to waste time. Put forth the effort. Colossians 3, 23, after that passage, 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that to the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever ye do, whether it's large, small, no task is too small. Do it heartily, not half-heartedly, but with your whole being. as to the Lord. Ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Our workplace can become a worship place when we shift our focus from man to Jesus Christ. Whether we're fixing a pipe, teaching a child, delivering mail, or serving customers, if it's done with a sincere heart for Jesus Christ, He sees it and He will reward it. In verse 9, he continues on and he says, "Ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Do the same things unto them. Again, what's the golden rule? Do unto them as though you'd have them do unto you. He just told masters to treat their servants in the same way. If you're a boss, if you're a leader, you must also act as if you are serving Christ in how you manage. The responsibilities are different, but the attitude should be the same respect, the same reverence, the same sincerity. I listen to a lot of Dave Ramsey, and he will not allow everybody on them is a team. He's part of a team. There is no boss. There is no leaders. There's no managers. Everybody's part of a team because he sees these things. Paul says there, stop your threatening. Again, it was a typical way for masters to keep things in order using fear and harsh punishment. But in Jesus Christ, that has to change. Jesus does not threaten us to live for Him. He loves us, and He shows that, and we need to pass that down. Whether you're a CEO, middle manager, a teacher with students, or even a parent with children, you're not to threaten or motivate by threats and intimidation. We need to mirror Christ's leadership. Firm when needed, but always fair, compassionate, and marked by servanthood. You know, when I first started the company 13 years ago, never expected to have where I'm at. I have 21 employees now, and the Lord has really blessed me with that. And lately, I've been trying to work on some core values and vision and, you know, what I want the team to be. And just some of the things I came up with so far, I'm still working on it. Haven't got very far, but, you know, number one is faith. Without faith, we have nothing. And I wouldn't have Knockout without having faith. But there's faith, integrity, and growth. And you know, that vision statement, I could sit there and say, oh, do the best home inspection you possibly can. But that's not what life is about. And so, like I said, I've been trying to work on it, and it'll probably change over time. But right now it says, at Knockout Inspections, we cultivate leaders of character grounded in faith, integrity, and growth to honor God in all we do. By investing in our people, we ensure excellence in every task and inspire each individual to become who they're meant to be. Again, life is not about my company. Life is not about the short-sightedness. Yes, I would love to say, hey, I need you to stay here. But if this is not where they need to be, or it's a stepping stone to get where God wants them to be, I need to build them into the person they need to be. But that's where this whole thing comes around. We have the same master in heaven, and God shows no partiality. The CEO or the janitor are equal. Worldly status means nothing. If you're in charge of others, remember you have a master in heaven to whom you will answer. When you get there, he's probably not going to accept, well, I was the boss. I deserve to be better than them. And many times in life, whether it doesn't even have to be in a career status, sometimes we feel like, hey, I'm a step up above so-and-so. It's not the way it works. Do you see your employees as people made in God's image? Do you treat them with respect and fairness? How do we treat one another? When we look at somebody in the eyes of God, when we look at each other, do we see them in God's image? Here in Ephesians 6, It calls us nothing less than a transformed home and workplace. It paints a picture of families where children and parents relate in mutual love and respect under Christ, and of workplace where integrity, fairness, and goodwill flow from hearts that know Jesus Christ. Take a moment, envision your home, envision your work life. Is there anything you would change to bring glory to Christ? Maybe it's more patience. Maybe it's more honor to your father and mother. Maybe it's more joy in your daily work, more kindness in how you treat your staff. We don't do this alone. We do this with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's rely on Him each and every day in our home life and our work life. The transformation of Jesus Christ is real, and it can change you and I. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for the Apostle Paul. I know it came from You, but even putting this in Scripture to say, hey, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Servant and master. There's so much here that each and every one of us can relate to, Lord. And we just pray that You will convict us, whether it's that children-parent status, whether it's the boss-employee status, whether it's honoring your father and mother, and myself included, Lord, I challenge You to tell me what I'm doing wrong. We thank You for this. We thank You for Scripture. We thank You for a wonderful morning. And we pray in Your precious Son's name. Amen.